Is the Bible intimidating for you to read? Do you need someone to help guide you through God's Word? Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones of Something Good Radio. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time, but let's face it, it can also be a challenge to read because it contains more than 600,000 words, two testaments, and 66 different books. But how does it all fit together? How do we clearly understand God's continuous story from Genesis to Revelation? That's why I wrote my new book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. Volume 1, based on the 39 books of the Old Testament, is now available, and I'd like to send you a copy. Here's Brian with details.
Ron's new book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, Volume 1, Old Testament, is now available for pre-order. For a gift of $30 or more, request your copy of the 384-page book today. When you order the print book, you'll also get instant access to the Route 66 Digital Library, a $275 value. The Digital Library contains 66 video sermons, 66 audio messages, 66 downloadable sermon notes, and 8 ebooks. To pre-order your copy of The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, Volume 1, Old Testament, go to somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Well, Pastor Ron, I'm sure many of our listeners are looking forward to reading this important book. I know I am. Talk about some of the challenges you faced as you put this project together, and then tell us why this 2-volume book can be such a great resource.
Brian, I knew The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible would be a pretty big challenge to write as a 2-volume set. As challenging to write as the Bible is intimidating for some people to read. But it was truly a labor of love, as is reading God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. I'm hopeful that these resources will show the readers just how beautifully the whole of the Bible fits together into an inspired and unified love letter from God to every member of His creation.
Thanks, Pastor Ron. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org to order Volume 1 of this great resource for your gift of $30 or more. Or call our offices. The number is 757-276-1099. And if you'd like, mail your check to P.O. Box 6245. That's Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23456. Well, Habakkuk 2, verse 4 tells us that the righteous man shall live by faith. Faith is the greatest necessity of the Christian life, a critical component of our salvation in Christ. Today on Something Good, Dr. Ron Jones talks in depth about the shield of faith as he moves ahead in his teaching series, Armored, Dressed for Success in Spiritual Warfare. Stay with us, or you can visit somethinggoodradio.org and listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Oh, and while you're there, be sure to check out Something Good Television, Something Good Courses, Something Good Travel, and the new Something Good Digital Library. This is where you can search for biblical answers to your questions from nearly 30 years of Ron's Bible teaching ministry. With today's Something Good Radio message, Picking Up the Shield of Faith, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
Well, we have been talking about this invisible war that the Bible tells us we are in. Ephesians chapter 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world. We are in an invisible war, and we need to be dressed for victory in spiritual warfare. That's what the scripture tells us in Ephesians 6. And part of getting dressed, as if you've been with us up to this point, has included putting on the belt of truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Last week, putting on our gospel shoes, those cleated shoes that we talked about. But there are 3 more kind of pieces or elements to the armor of God we'll be talking about today and in the weeks to come. And we go from, to some extent, from putting on to picking up or taking up. Like today, take up or pick up the shield of faith. The week after that, we'll get back to putting on the helmet of salvation. But then pick up or take up the sword of the Spirit. What's the difference between putting on and picking up? Well, maybe a baseball illustration will help with us. Imagine a baseball player. He gets to The stadium goes into the locker room. He puts on his uniform, including his cleats, right? And he heads out to the dugout. The game has started. It's his turn at bat. But as he goes to the plate, dressed in his uniform and with his cleats on, he has to pick up what? His bat. I mean, how crazy would it be? We wouldn't say that the player is ready for the 90-mile-an-hour fastball if he didn't pick up his bat. So in the same way, we put on some things, and we need to get dressed every day, but there are other elements to this spiritual battle that we need to pick up. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, in all circumstances, take up or pick up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. I like how at this point, Paul reminds us that we're in a spiritual battle, because that shield of faith is going to protect us in a defensive kind of way against what he calls the flaming darts of the evil one. You know, the devil has a dartboard with your face and my face right in the middle of it. You don't want to be the devil's dartboard. You got to have your shield of faith ready, and we'll talk more about that here in a moment. This reminds me a little bit of the Star Trek Enterprise thing. Any Trekkie fans here? Anybody willing to? Oh, we got some Trekkie fans over here. All right. Do you remember what Captain Kirk says as they power up the Enterprise and they move at warp speed into enemy territory? You'll hear him bark the command, "Shields up, everyone! Shields up!" And sometimes they're flying through the universe at warp speed and the shields are down, but when they detect that there is an enemy in some region of the universe, it's a shields up kind of time. That's sort of what we're talking about here. Only in spiritual warfare and in the Christian life, there's never a shields down moment. How do I know that? Because of the first three words in verse 16. Paul says, in all circumstances, not in some circumstances, not in the circumstances you think you've got under control. You know, don't be so quick to say, God, I've got this. No, you don't. Not when you know that our adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not when you understand that the evil one, yes, the evil one, there's no kind intent found anywhere in the devil. He's an evil one. And he's got a dartboard with your face in the middle of it, and he's about to fling some flaming arrows, some flaming darts in your direction. It is a shields up time in all circumstances. In all circumstances. And we're to pick up not just any shield, but the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Let's talk about faith. Faith is the great necessity of the Christian life. Write that down. Just, you know, put it as a, create a bumper sticker or something that you never forget that faith is the great necessity of the Christian life. Let me build my case here with a little bit of a journey through the scriptures, starting in Habakkuk chapter 2, where it tells us the righteous shall live by faith. That phrase, which was one of the rallying cries of the Reformation, that phrase that took root in the heart of a Catholic priest named Martin Luther in the early 1500s, and that lit a fire in his heart that led to the spark that started the Protestant Reformation. The righteous shall live by faith. Now, as the Reformation continued, the rallying cry was, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And Luther and others parted from the Catholic Church, which was a faith plus works kind of system. And Luther said, no, the righteous shall live by faith and faith alone. He not only read it in the book of Habakkuk, but it echoes through the New Testament. In Romans, in Galatians, again in Hebrews, the righteous shall live by faith. Why? Because faith and faith alone is the great necessity of the Christian life. We could go on. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. By grace you have been saved, say it with me, through faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, It is impossible to please God. I just let that sink in for a moment. It's not just difficult to please Him. It's impossible. God is looking for faith, an expression of faith in you and in me. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. Whatever is not from faith is sin. If you're taking a step in some direction and it's not a step of faith, the Bible calls that sin. How about James chapter 1 and verse 6? James says, do any of you lack wisdom? Wisdom is that ability to apply truth skillfully in your life. Do you need some divine wisdom? James says it's available in spades, but he says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith without any doubting. And then I could also add 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. We're talking about getting dressed for victory in spiritual warfare. 1 John 5, 4 says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What am I trying to say to you? Faith is the great necessity of the Christian life. If you think you can live the Christian life and not take steps of faith, all right, yeah, you're missing something. Some people say, Pastor, yeah, I've got faith. I'll believe it when I see it. That's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is, I believe it, and then I see it, all right? It leads us to an obvious question, and the question is this, what is faith? Better yet, what is biblical faith? The skeptic says, well, faith is it's a blind leap into the dark unknown. I'm going to challenge that. It's not even close to that. That's not biblical faith. Faith is not a blind leap into the dark unknown. Rather, faith is a step or maybe a leap into the glorious light. Out of the darkness you're in and into the light of Jesus Christ who declared, I am the light of the world. So it's just the opposite of what you've maybe come to believe. Faith is not a blind leap into the dark unknown. It's a step out of the darkness and into the light of Jesus Christ who claimed, I am the light of the world. But furthermore, Hebrews chapter 11 is probably a good place for us to go for a working definition of faith. Let's go a little bit deeper there. Hebrews 11 is also known as the Great Hall of Faith because of the personal faith profiles it contains of people like Noah, Moses, Abraham, Joseph, and many, many other Bible heroes. It's a wonderful chapter in the Bible, Hebrews 11 is, to read and just strengthen your faith and be inspired by the steps of faith that others have taken. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 begins this way. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Isn't that a great definition? A lot better than it's a blind leap into the dark unknown, right? No, the Bible says that biblical faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. It's not, I'll believe it when I see it. It's, I'll see it when I believe it, is the kind of idea. Other translations say it this way. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The New King James says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The New Living Translation, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. In a lighter kind of way, Eugene Peterson in his paraphrase called the Message, faith is our handle on what we can't see. And none of this is anywhere close to a blind leap into the dark unknown. You see in all of these translations and paraphrases, words like sureness, certainty, confidence, conviction. This is what describes biblical faith.
Up next, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. If you're listening to Something Good Radio for the first time, we'd like to send you a free chapter of Ron's most popular book, Mysteries of the Afterlife. It's our way of saying thanks for being part of our radio listening family. Stop by our website, somethinggoodradio.org, and click the I'm New icon that's right at the top of the homepage. Again, that's somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, share your prayer request with us by using the Explore feature at the top of the homepage. That's where you'll find the How Can We Pray For You option. Our ministry team will be happy to join you in prayer, so contact us anytime. Faith. You can't be saved without it. You can't please God without it. But what does it look like in real life? Answers come your way next in the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Picking Up the Shield of Faith. Once again, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
You also see the word hope in there. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for these days? Like faith, there's a big difference between biblical hope and, you know, the kind of hope that says, I hope tomorrow is a better day. I hope they find a vaccine for the virus. I hope 2021 is better than 2022. That's not biblical hope. That's wishful thinking, disguised as hope. Biblical hope is the confident expectation that God is who He says He is, and that He will do exactly what He says He will do. That's biblical hope, coupled with the confident expectation, the assurance of those things that I cannot see with the naked eye, but I see with the eyes of faith. Years ago, Time magazine quoted the famous geneticist Francis Collins as saying, "Faith is not the opposite of reason. No, faith rests squarely upon reason, but with the added component of revelation." Yeah, because biblical hope is that confident expectation that God is who He says He is, just as He revealed Himself in the pages of Scripture, just as He has revealed Himself to us in creation and in our conscience and in the written Word and furthermore in the living Word who is Jesus Christ. He has revealed Himself to us. I say it another way, Christianity is an intelligent faith based upon reasonable evidence. But it goes further than that and gives us the revelation of God. And so it's a reasonable thing, beyond a reasonable thing, to believe in all the ways that God has revealed Himself in the pages of Scripture. That's a little bit about what is faith. I want to get back to that dartboard. The devil has a dartboard, according to Ephesians 6. Your face, my face, is right in the middle of it. And he has some flaming darts. Now, the vivid picture that the Apostle Paul has in mind here comes from the ancient Roman world and from battlefields back then. The WMD in the ancient world, the weapon of mass destruction, was the flaming arrow. They would not only shoot arrows at their enemies, but sometimes they would take a piece of cloth and dip it in pitch and wrap the end of the arrow and set it on fire and send the arrow. And when the arrow hit, the pitch splattered in a bunch of directions with its flames. That was considered a weapon of mass destruction back then and would ignite the enemy's camp. And the Apostle Paul has that picture in mind when he says to us, let's go back to verse 16, "In all circumstances, pick up or take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." What kind of flaming darts is he going to send our direction? How does he attack our faith? Let me give you just three. Write these down. Number one is worry. He will attack your faith and my faith, that confident expectation that God will do what he says he will do because he has revealed himself in this way. He will attack that faith with worry. How do I know that? Well, because in Matthew chapter 6, which is a section of Scripture, the larger section, 5, 6, and 7, known as the Sermon on the Mount. You ever heard of that? Jesus talks about worry. In fact, it's probably the largest section of Scripture dedicated to worry. Why did Jesus talk so much about worry? Because we worry a lot, don't we? We worry about this, we worry about that, we worry about the other thing. And Jesus said, why are you worrying? He talked about how foolish it is to worry, how useless it is to worry. He said, listen, your Father in heaven takes care of the birds of the air. There's not one that drops to the ground without his notice. Look at the flowers in the field and how they are adorned and clothed. And then Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 30, but if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? It's that last little phrase that kind of gets us. Oh, Jesus is saying there's a connection between worry and a lack of faith. Let's just say it. Worry cannot coexist with faith. And so one of the ways by logical conclusion the devil attacks our faith is by filling our hearts and mind with worry. What did you worry about this week? Did you worry about catching the coronavirus? Did you worry about losing your job? Did you worry about taking some financial step of faith? What was your heart full of worry about? What did you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning pacing back and forth in your den about? What worry gripped your heart? See it for what it is, a flaming arrow from the devil meant to extinguish your faith. And that's when you need to take up the shield of faith. Pick it up in all circumstances. The second dart that he often tosses is doubt. We talked a little bit about this in week two. I won't expand much here. But here's what I've learned over the years, and some wise soul encouraged me to do years ago. He just said, doubt your doubts. Learn to doubt your doubts. Knowing that this is one of the flaming arrows of the devil meant to extinguish your faith, when doubt comes to your mind, to your heart, whatever, or it freezes your hands and feet before you put some step of faith into practice, just recognize it for what it is. Pick up your shield of faith.
Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How's your faith life today? As you consider your answer, also consider this. Faith in God is not a leap in the dark. It's a walk in the light.
Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones of Something Good Radio. If you've been with us for a while, if you're a regular listener and God is using this broadcast in your life, I want to speak directly to you. When you first tuned in or streamed Something Good, did you know that other people paid to air that program? We call them our ministry partners. They have people just like you in mind when they donate monthly to Something Good, which is a 100% listener-supported ministry. Now that you're a regular listener, will you do the same? Will you help us share Something Good with someone else? We created the 828 Club for people who choose to partner with this ministry through prayer and monthly financial support. It's based on Romans 8:28, which in the message says, every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider joining the 828 Club today by giving $28 or more per month to share Something Good with someone else. And when you do, we'll send you some resources to help you grow in your relationship with God. It's our way of saying thanks for your partnership in this gospel ministry. So please join the 828 Club today. Here's Brian with all the details.
All of us need help to accomplish the will of God. Today, with your help, Something Good Radio will keep sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through this media ministry. When you partner with us, we'll send you a free copy of Ron Jones' full-length book, Mysteries of the Afterlife, exploring its amazing secrets. To join the 828 Club today, please visit our new and improved website, somethinggoodradio.org, and use the Partners tab at the top of the homepage. That's somethinggoodradio.org, or call 757-276-1099.
So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Think of this book called the Bible as your faith fueling station. You get the word of Christ in you, and you'll have more faith. You'll have a stronger faith.
That's next time when Dr. Ron Jones shares part two of his message, Picking Up the Shield of Faith. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.